Hello again, everybody. It's Mike Arrigo, and welcome to my fifth Macintosh podcast. And on this one, I'm going to show you something that might seem somewhat contradictory to some people, but other people may welcome it. There's certainly a lot of mixed opinions about it in the Macintosh community in general, but I'm going to show you how you can actually run Windows on a Macintosh, and we're going to talk about first, you know, why you would want to do that, and then how it can be done, and how it works, and I'll show you Windows running on my Macintosh, so you can kind of see what it's like here. Before we get into that, though, I did want to follow up on a couple of things that I covered on the previous podcast, and thanks to those who emailed me and let me know about this. In iTunes 8, it is possible to skip back and forth 5 or 6 seconds through a song, whether that's on a CD or an MP3. The way you do it is by holding the Command and the Option keys and pressing the left arrow key to go back and the right arrow key to go forward. And the other thing I wanted to mention that was told to me, because I don't have a MacBook, a laptop, I have a Mac Mini, but on the MacBooks, apparently the CD drive and DVD drive is a slot-loading drive also, just like it is on the Mac Mini. So you put the CD or DVD up to the slot, and then, you know, it takes it out of your hand and pulls it inside, and then it ejects, you know, the same way. So it's not a tray or drawer-loading drive like it is on some of the other laptops that are available. So I did want to mention those little tidbits, and again, thanks to those who emailed me and let me know about that. Okay, so that having been said, let's get into running Windows on the Macintosh. And first off, let's talk about, before we get into even how you can do it and demonstrating it, why you would want to do that. Because I've said before, you know, the Macintosh operating system in a lot of ways is designed better than Windows is, and I still believe that. Everything that I've said in my previous podcasts still holds true. I believe in a lot of ways that the Mac OS is better designed. There's no registry to get corrupted, no need to mess with defragmenting the hard drive. It's much less susceptible at this point, or certainly you don't see the kind of viruses and things that you see in Windows. Not to say it's impossible, because any operating system could get a virus or spyware, because those are simply programs. They just tend to do things that are not desirable. And that can be written for, you know, for any operating system. So it's certainly not impossible for the Mac to get a virus. But at this point, it's much less prevalent. Part of that is the design of the Mac OS. You know, the underlying framework is Unix. And secondly, people just haven't bothered to try, you know, writing viruses for that. You know, it's really a shame that people write that stuff in the first place. Some people just have far too much time on their hands and far too little regard for other people, which is why they do it in the first place. But so that's the advantages to the Mac operating system. And of course, what piques our interest is the screen reader is built in to the Mac operating system. You have access right out of the box, and the setup of the Mac can also be done from start to finish with speech and or Braille if you have a Braille display. And that certainly is impressive. So why would you want to run Windows on a Macintosh? And there are actually mixed opinions on this too in the Mac community, not just, you know, among blind people probably, but among sighted people. I've read, you know, several posts. Some people think it's great that you can do that, and others think it's blasphemy. It's a cardinal sin to think about, you know, running Windows on a Macintosh. And some people think that, you know, now that you can do that, that software developers will no longer develop any software for the Mac. I don't think that's going to happen. I really don't. I think it's a good thing. As far as why you would want to run Windows, well, there may be a program, and this is probably the main reason, there may be a program that you want to run that is not available on the Macintosh side of things. There's a few that I use that are not available for the Macintosh operating system. One of them is the software for the Victor Reader Stream, which I am using to record this podcast, and I've used it to record my previous ones also. And once it's recorded, the software for the Victor Reader Stream converts the recording to a WAV file, which can then be converted to MP3, and that's what's uploaded to Blind Cool Tech. Well, unfortunately, there's no current way to convert the audio recordings to WAV files on the Macintosh operating system side of things. Hopefully, HumanWare will develop a Mac OS version of the software. I wouldn't think it would be too difficult to do. But at this point in time, there isn't one that will convert the audio files. So that has to be done in Windows. Another program that I use, I am a member of the Saratech, the SA Mobile Network System Access, and they have some of their content can only be played in Windows. Even to transfer it to the Victor Reader Stream requires their browser. Mainly the protected content, such as the described movies and that type of thing. You can access a lot of other parts of their network, such as the forums and the news and the email and that type of thing with a regular web browser, and that works great with Safari and VoiceOver on the Mac side. But for the some of the protected content, you have to have their browser. And if any folks from Saratech happen to be listening to this, take this as a suggestion. Allow us Mac users who use the Mac browser to access that as well. That would be awesome if that could be done. Another program that I use for reading is Kurzweil 1000, and that only runs in Windows. Maybe at some point Kurzweil Educational Systems will develop a Macintosh version of that. That would be really neat, actually, especially with the voices that are built into the Macintosh. That would be really nice. I don't know if the OCR engines, though. Kurzweil 1000 uses a FineReader and the ScanSoft OmniPage engines. I don't know if those are available as toolkits on the Macintosh side either. So that I'm not sure. So that's another program that I use. And there may be some other ones that that you could think of that you want to use that are not available on the Macintosh. So that's one reason why it's good to run. It may be good to be able to run Windows on a Mac and basically have the best of both worlds then. I know before I installed Windows on my Mac, if I wanted to use one of those programs, I'd have to fire up one of my PCs, which I do have two of those also. But it's just why switch if you don't have to? So this does make it a whole lot easier because you really do have the best of both worlds. Now you've got the great operating system of the Mac and the accessibility out of the box. And then if there is a program you need to run, you can run Windows on the Mac and a Windows Screen Reader and or Kurzweil 1000 or another specialty program. So there are legitimate reasons, I think, why you might want to do that. It doesn't mean you have to, but the option is available. And some websites even still insist on only being compatible with Internet Explorer. Which I think that's kind of just closed-minded design on the web designer's part, but, like it or not, at this point, Windows is the most popular operating system. Doesn't mean it's the best in design or that it has to be your favorite, but it is the most popular at this point in time. So, each, site has its advantages, and it's good to get the best of both worlds. I think when somebody says, I'm only going to use this or I'm only going to use that and, I don't want to learn, something new. This is what I know and I want to stick with it. I think it's a person's choice and a person's right to do that. But you sell yourself short, I think, when you do that, when you have that, that type of thinking. So that kind of covers, I think, why you would want to run Windows, on a Mac and why it would be convenient to do that. So let's talk about how you can do it, and then we'll get into demonstrating some things here. There are really two main ways that you can run Windows on a Macintosh, and let me just give you a brief history here. When the Macintosh started out, and really up until, I think 2006, they were using PowerPC processors made from made by Motorola and IBM. I think the last generation that they used of those was like the G4 or the G5, something like that. And they really, I mean, they did what they were designed to do, but they limited the compatibility somewhat. There was a program that would allow you to run Windows using those Macintoshes. It was called a virtual PC. But since the processor was completely different, the software had to translate all of the instructions, you know, from the Windows side or whatever operating system you were using to Macintosh instructions that would run, you know, with that processor. So it was, I never ran it that way, but it was probably fairly slow, I would think, and not very efficient. Well, in 2006, Apple switched to using Intel processors, much like what you have in the PCs. The main reasons I think they did this, compatibility may have been part of it, but the speed, I think, was the big reason why they did it, or at least one of them. So they switched to using, you know, Intel chips, Intel chipsets, you know, a lot of Intel hardware. And so that opened the door quite a bit to run, you know, other operating systems besides the Macintosh OS, because what you've essentially got now is the same processors that PCs have. So, you know, talk started almost immediately about running Windows, you know, being able to run Windows and other operating systems such as Linux, you know, on a Mac. Well, there was in 10.4 of the Mac OS Tiger, Apple came out with something called Boot Camp. And it was in beta in Tiger 10.4 and then in Leopard 10.5, which is the current Mac OS. It comes built in as part of the operating system. And again, it's called Boot Camp. And what it is, it's a boot manager. And it allows you to boot. You basically, when your machine fires up, you can choose to boot either into Windows or into the Mac OS. So it's a dual boot system, much like you'd have on a PC if you choose to boot either like into Windows or into Linux. And there are some advantages and disadvantages to this approach, both for regular use and for us blind users, and I'll give you those here. The advantages are, well, the main one is that you're booting into Windows natively, just like you would on a PC. So all of the processor's power and all of the memory is available for running Windows and Windows applications. So that's the main advantage for that. By the way, one other thing I wanted to cover here, I forgot to mention it in the why section, why you'd want to run Windows. Another reason might be, and this is for blind and sighted people alike, games. A lot of people out there, you know, are gamers, and they, you know, they want to be able to play, you know, games, which may not be available for the Mac OS. And again, there are some games for blind people, even that are designed for blind people, but those mainly, I think, also run under Windows. I'm not a big gamer, but I have heard of you know, those games, and a lot of people enjoy them, and that's fine, certainly. So that's another reason why you might want to run Windows on a Mac also. But getting back to the boot camp thing, so that's the main advantage to running Windows that way on your Mac. There's a couple disadvantages to that. One of them is for us blind users, and that is there's really no direct way to install Windows without sighted help in that regard. The way this works is there's a utility in the Mac OS that you run. It's called the Boot Camp Assistant. And what that does is it creates a separate partition on your hard drive for Windows. Now that is accessible using VoiceOver. That part is to create the partition. But then what happens is you restart the Macintosh and you run the Windows install in the usual way, just like you do on a PC. And you do have to have a native Windows CD to do this. A recovery CD from a HP or a Dell computer or something like that will not work here. You need a native Windows, either Windows XP or a Vista disk for this to work. So anyway, once the install starts, then and the Mac restarts, you know, with the Windows install, you basically have no speech at that point. I'm kind of working on a way around that I might experiment with. Using a combination of things, a Windows answer file, which does allow you to install Windows, do an unattended Windows install, which some of you might be familiar with. I do have that for my Windows PCs that I've kind of customized. And the reason why it works on my PCs is because I have a Sound Blaster Live card in those computers, and Windows knows how to deal with that out of the box. Well, it comes with a basic driver. There are some creative drivers that you install, you know, afterward to take advantage of all the card's features, but for basic functionality, Windows knows how to handle that sound card out of the box. So once the initial install completes, you can use Narrator for the rest of the setup to add things like, you know, to enter your username and that type of thing. On the Mac, though, you don't have that. You have to install the sound driver before Windows can use it. However, I do think I know of a way around that. The Mac Mini, which is the one I'm using, doesn't have a microphone port. So I had to purchase a USB microphone. And that Windows does know how to handle out of the box. So I wonder, between using an unattended install file and using that USB headset, if it might be possible to install Windows using Boot Camp without sighted help. It's something I'm going to experiment with at some point. And the way that works then is when your Macintosh starts up, you basically hold the Option key down, and then you can choose to boot into either the Mac OS or in Windows. And that's the other disadvantage to using a Boot Camp. To use one operating system, like if you're in the Mac and you want to switch to Windows, you have to totally shut the Mac OS down and reboot into Windows and vice versa. So that's the other disadvantage to using a Boot Camp. But again, the advantage is, you know, you're running it natively, so Windows gets all of the processor's power and all of the memory that you have installed. Okay, the other way you can run Windows, and this is the way I've done it, is to use what's called a virtual machine program. Now, what this is a program that basically creates a shell that allows you to run another operating system on top of your main operating system. It's called a guest. In this case, Windows would be the guest, and the Mac OS would be the host operating system, because that's what's actually booted, and we're running Windows, you know, on top of or as a virtual machine, you know, under the Mac operating system. Now, once Apple switched to using Intel processors, this became a lot easier, because really all the virtual machine software had to do was create the shell to basically emulate all of the hardware that you would find on a regular PC. And, you know, then the operating systems like Windows and Linux and that type of thing run in that shell, and there really isn't a whole lot of translating instructions now, because the processor is an Intel processor. So, you know, you're running a guest operating system that's designed for Intel processors, so works a lot better than the days of the virtual PC using the Mac G4 and G5 processors and those type of things. Now, the advantages to doing it this way are, number one, you don't have to reboot. You can literally run Windows and the Mac operating system at the same time. And I'll show you that here in just a little bit, how that can be done. When I first got my Mac and there was talk of running Windows, I actually thought I wanted to do the Boot Camp route, so I could have all of the processor's speed and, all of the memory in the Macintosh available to Windows. But after trying this, I have to say I was proved wrong on that one. I'm convinced that this is a better alternative, at least for now, for blind people anyway. So you can run, Windows and the Mac at the same time. The other advantage, at least using the virtual machine program I'm using, which I'll talk about in a minute, you can actually install Windows without sighted help. Totally. The install is very simple. The only disadvantage to running it this way is you're sharing the resources with the Mac operating system. So you have to choose, you know, how much memory you want to allocate to, you know, to Windows. Hard drive space really isn't an issue because you can really determine how much, you know, hard drive space you want to allow for your virtual machine. You know, and as long as you've got a big enough hard drive, you've got, you know, plenty of space for that, just like you would with boot camp. So that's not really an issue. But I was pleasantly surprised. Even though it is running as a virtual machine and sharing resources with the Mac OS, it is very responsive. There might be a slight delay, but it's certainly not enough that you would to really even worry about. So that having been said, the way I chose to do this was to go the virtual machine route. The biggest reason, at first at least, wasn't even so much that you can run the two operating systems side by side. It was that you can do the Windows install without sighted help. As far as boot camp goes, I could have probably gotten sighted help to help me install Windows, but you can't always depend on the fact, or you can't always assume that sighted help is going to be available. I prefer to find ways to do things to where you don't even need sighted help. That way you never have to worry about, well, is it going to be available if I need it again for this? And with the virtual machine route here, that's definitely the case. There are a couple of different virtual machine programs for the Mac that will allow you to do this. One of them is Parallels, which I've never tried that, and from what I've heard, it's not even accessible using a VoiceOver. Another one is VirtualBox, which is free. I haven't tested that one either. I may do that, though, and see how that works. And the other one, the one I'm using, is a program called Fusion, and that's made by VMware. It's at vmware.com. And that is very accessible with VoiceOver as far as setting your preferences for the virtual machine, such as, you know, how much memory you want to allow for it, and you know, that type of thing. There's not a whole lot you really need to set, but you can choose to, like, disconnect your CD drive from the virtual machine, so basically it appears to Windows as if there's, you know, not a CD drive there anymore, you know, that type of thing. But again, you really don't need to do that too much. The only thing I really needed to set on mine was how much memory I wanted to allocate for it and how big of a hard drive space I wanted. The other thing about the virtual machines that's neat is everything is stored in one file. It's basically an image of your virtual machine. So to do a backup of that, you can certainly use, you know, a backup program in Windows to do that if you want to. Or what you can do is simply copy the file, and I'll show you where that's at on the Macintosh here, where it's stored at before we fire it up. But it's an image file, basically, and that's always changing, of course, as you know, add and delete things from your virtual machine. So if you want to make a backup, all you have to do is copy that file. Mine, I think, is about 5 gigs in size. and I did a 40 gigabyte virtual hard drive. But, of course, the file won't be that big unless I actually put 40 gigs of stuff in there, which I probably am not going to do. But anyway, you could just copy that file to another place, like an external hard drive or something like that, and then should you ever, you know, want to restore your virtual machine to that point, just copy that file from your external hard drive back, replacing the one that's already there. So it's all stored in one image. So that's kind of neat. The software sells for $79, and again, you can get it from VMware.com, and they kind of specialize in making a virtual machine software. They make a bunch of other products too that do that, and it's very accessible with VoiceOver. And the install for Windows, again, you can actually do it without sighted help. The way you do it, and I thought about demonstrating this, but there's really not a whole lot to demonstrate. It's so simple. You insert your once the program's installed on your Macintosh, which is very accessible. You basically run the program. And this one does run. It's not an install like you'd see in Windows, because again, there's no registry or anything like that, but it's basically just an install script. It just, you know, asks you what hard drive you want to copy the files to and that type of thing. and you select that, and it then it copies the application files to your your app folder. And it's very accessible. The install is very, very simple. So when you start the program, you insert your Windows CD, XP in my case, and it basically puts up a window and says, you know, you're starting a new virtual machine, you've got a Windows XP disk in the drive, what do you want to do? And by default, install this operating system is already selected. There's some radio buttons there. And then it just asks you your name and the Windows product key. You type those in and tell it okay, and that's it. Literally, it does the rest. And in about 25 minutes, your Windows is installed in your virtual machine. So that's how that works. Very, very easy. And once that's done, there is a set of tools that you... there's a couple of drivers you need to install, a video driver and that type of thing, and there's a couple of other things that you can install if you choose to. I didn't. But you can install support to allow basically your folder, like your My Documents folder in Windows, to allow that folder to be seen on the Macintosh side and to basically to share some of the Mac resources with Windows, like your shared folders, and to allow like your Windows applications, you can set it so like some of the applications in your start menu appear like on your dock on the Mac side, and then you just select the Windows application from the dock, and it automatically starts the virtual machine, starts Windows, and loads that application. I didn't install any of that stuff. I prefer to install the minimal stuff necessary to get something to work, and then you can always install something later if you need it. Plus, I wanted to keep the Windows virtual machine and the Mac completely separate in my case. And that's just a personal preference, and that's the way I've done it. So Windows knows nothing about anything on my Mac, and the Mac OS, other than running the software, of course, to create the virtual machine to run Windows, knows nothing about any file that I have on the Windows side. So what this does, your virtual machine file is stored in your personal folder, just like in Windows you have on the Mac. You've got your own folder, and that's where the virtual machine is stored, in a folder called Virtual Machines. So let me show you where that is located and how that works. And then we'll go ahead and fire it up here. So again, I'm sitting on the Mac desktop. I just fired up my Mac before I started recording this. And let me slow the speech down slightly here. I'm using Alex, of course, the default voice with VoiceOver. And then we'll go ahead and open the home folder here. So let me slow the speech down slightly.
Volume 100%. Intonation rate 40%. 26%.
Okay, that should allow you to understand it okay. All right, let's open my home folder, and the quick and easy way to do that is to press Command-Shift-H.
Home, Window, Mike Arrigo, Table.
All right, let's just arrow down here, and we'll get to the Virtual Machine folder.
Collapsed, row, expect collapsed, row
Actually,
5.
I can just hit V, I think.
Expanded, row 6. Name, Virtual Machines, selected folder, date modified, December 19th, 2008, 7:28 p.m., size, kind, folder.
All right, and let's just arrow down one more time.
Row 7. Name, Windows XP, professional.vmwarevm, selected VMware Virtual Machine, date modified, today, 3:07 p.m., size, 8.43 gigabytes, kind, VMware Virtual Machine.
Okay, 8.4 gigabytes. Wow, okay. So again, that's an image of everything that's in the virtual machine. So, if I wanted to back that up, I could just copy that to, an external hard drive or somewhere else, and I have done that, actually. And that way, if my Windows system gets corrupted or anything like that, all I have to do is copy that file, the good copy, the backed up copy, back into this folder, and my Windows is back in business. All right, I just wanted to show you where that was located and, how that worked. Let's go ahead and close out of this folder here and go back to the desktop.
Macintosh HD selected.
Okay. Well, without further ado, let's go ahead and fire up Windows, and I'll show you how some things work. I mean, it's basically the same as any other Windows would be on a PC, but I will show you the responsiveness, and I'll show you how you can switch back and forth between the Mac, you know, OS and Windows. It's actually just one keystroke. So, VMware Fusion is in my dock. So to get down to there, let's do a Control F3.
Finder running.
And that goes down to the dock, and let's just press the letter V.
VMware Fusion.
And let's press Enter.
Finder, Mac and Mac, VMware Fusion. Window, Windows XP Professional. Scroll area.
Okay, and VoiceOver sees it as a scroll area, but the software is loaded, and it is now a booting Windows XP. Although my Mac OS is unaffected. I could even... I'll do it. I'll switch back. If I hit Command Tab, I can switch back to the Macintosh desktop.
Finder, Macintosh HD selected.
And I'm back on my Mac desktop, although Windows XP is continuing to boot, and you'll hear their startup sound here in just a moment as it completes the boot process. Still booting up here. And there we are. So it's booted. You can control how much memory is allocated to your virtual machine. I believe I've got mine set to about 384 megs. I've got a gigabyte of RAM in this Mac Mini. And, you know, you want to keep a balance between, you know, enough memory for your Windows and enough for the Mac OS. If you put too much on, like, Windows, then the Mac OS may not have enough memory to run efficiently. Or if you don't allocate enough to Windows, then Windows is not going to, you know, run efficiently. So you do need to do a balance. I kind of experiment with this a little bit. It defaulted to 512. But I found with that the Mac OS was swapping to disk a little bit too much, so I trimmed it down a little bit. And I seem to have found a decent balance. Of course, the more memory you have in your computer, the better, and I may actually put another gig of RAM into this Mac Mini, although this does run quite well. So let me explain to you a little bit about the key mapping also. Again, Fusion does have a feature which I've disabled, because I prefer to, you know, keep everything kind of separate. It does have a key mapping feature where you can set, so like if you press Command-C, of course on the Mac, Command-C is copy, Command-V is paste. Well, on the Windows side, of course, Control-C is copy and Control-V is paste. Fusion does have a key mapper where you can set it, and it comes enabled by default, where if you press, when you're in the... when you're in Windows, if you press like Command C, Fusion will basically send Windows a Control C instead. Or if you press Command V for, you know, paste, Fusion will send Windows Control V instead. I've actually disabled that because I know the differences, and I don't want the software basically changing stuff on me. I want stuff, you know, as it would be, and, you know, again, kind of kept separate. But again, that's a personal preference. If you use this program and you find you like that feature, you can certainly use that. One other thing I wanted to mention too. I think I covered it briefly, but once Windows is installed and you're booted, you do need to install, as it's called. It's called the VMware Tools, but that can easily be done either using Narrator or System Access to Go, even, because your Ethernet is already functioning. You do need to install that before you can install something like JAWS or WindowEyes, because it does install the video driver. Then otherwise, you've just got the regular VGA driver. But again, that's easily done. And again, there's some other stuff you can choose to install if you want to allow the Mac side and the Windows side to share folders. But I didn't install that part. I just installed the device drivers that it needed. And that part can be done without sighted help. So it's really neat that you can totally install Windows on this without needing sighted assistance. Okay, so Windows is booted. Now you remember I did switch back to the Mac OS. So let me hold the Command key and press Tab again to switch back to VMware Fusion. We'll do
Macintosh
that.
Macintosh HD selected. VMware Fusion. Window. Windows XP Professional. Scroll area.
Okay, and VoiceOver calls it a scroll area. Now, there is a couple of other things in this window, and if I move the VoiceOver cursor, it will move keyboard focus, you know, away from the virtual machine for the moment. But there are options. You can, for USB stuff, and though it's built in, I guess it's installed in this Mac as a USB device, there are options to connect and disconnect your USB devices, and what that does then is it switches between using it on the Mac side and on the Windows side. So I'll just show you that real quick. I'm just going to move my VoiceOver cursor, which again is still, you know, on the Mac side, of course, though I'm back in the VMware window. I'm just going to move down here and show you these options.
Blank. VMware Tools is not installed. Choose the virtual machine. Install VMware Tools menu.
Now, it's saying that because I didn't install all of the tools, like for the sharing of folders and that kind of stuff, which you don't have to install. Again, all I've installed is the device drivers that I had to get, you know, all of the virtual hardware to function, and that's all I'm going to install, actually, as far as that goes. Let's keep going, though.
Connect Apple IR receiver menu button.
Okay, that's the Apple infrared receiver.
Connect Apple Bluetooth USB host controller menu
button.
That's
the Bluetooth.
Connect C Media USB headphone set menu button.
And that's the USB microphone. So right now, those are still functioning on the Mac OS side, but if I would choose any of those buttons, it would then connect them on the Windows side, and then they wouldn't function on the Mac side until you disconnect it. So it's one or the other. All right, let's move back up to that scroll area, which again is where Windows is at.
Connect that's, Apple IR receiver.
Once we're back on that, then we'll be interacting with Windows itself and not the Mac OS.
VMware blank tech toolbar scroll area.
There we go. You can also put the virtual machine into a full screen mode where it takes away all that other stuff, and then there's nothing else on the screen but your version of Windows. And then if you want to switch back to the Mac OS, though, you do have to take it out of that mode, I believe. Actually, we could probably switch with the VoiceOver, use the VoiceOver switch application command to still switch. We'll experiment with that in a minute. Okay, so we're back on the scroll area here, as VoiceOver calls it, and that is the Windows, you know, actual operating system. Now, some of you might be wondering, when you run a Windows screen reader, do the keys conflict with VoiceOver? Not usually. There's a couple of little interesting things, but it's easily dealt with. For one thing, I'm going to turn off the numpad commander of a VoiceOver, because I do have that enabled, so you can use the numeric keypad on my Mac keyboard for a VoiceOver, but of course a lot of the Windows screen readers use that as well, and that's what we want to do in this case. So I'm going to turn that off.
Numpad commander off.
There we go. The only other conflict you might have, and I guess to explain this, I should describe to you the key mapping, how that works in Windows on the Mac keyboard. The command key, which is right to the left and right of the space bar, at least on this keyboard, that is the Windows key. That's, you know, for opening the start menu, and if you hold it and press like R, it'll bring up the run dialog. You can hold that key and press M. It'll minimize everything, go to the desktop. So that's the Windows key. The Option key is the Alt key in Windows. And then the Control key stays the same. It is the Control key. So a lot of times to launch an application, like for Window Eyes, for instance, it's Control-Alt-W. Or in this case, you would press Control-Option-W because, again, the Option key is the Alt key. Well, Control and Option, holding those two keys down is also the key sequence you hold down when you press different letters on the keyboard for VoiceOver functions. Now, Control-Option-W happens to be the Say Current Word command in VoiceOver. But, of course, in Windows, that would be Control-Alt-W for launching Window Eyes. So there's a couple of ways around that. VoiceOver has a keystroke that you can press to just pass the next key through, and that's the way I do it. Because that's the only time you really have to do it, is when you're going to do a Control-Alt key sequence. Other than that, if you turn off the numpad commander in VoiceOver, there's no conflict at all. It works fine. The other thing you could do is change the keyboard shortcut. Like for Window Eyes, in my case, I could do change it to Control-Shift-W or something like that, and then there wouldn't even be a conflict there at all. But anyway, let's go ahead and launch Window Eyes. So what I'll do is press Control-Option-Tab, and that's the VoiceOver command that says basically ignore the next keystroke and pass it through to the application. So I'll do that now. Ignoring next key press, and then we press, on the Mac keyboard it's Control-Option-W, and Windows will take that as Control-Alt-W, which will launch Window Eyes, which is one of the screen readers that I use. So I'll tell you when I press the key, and you can see for yourself how fast it launches here. So I'm pressing, I got the Control and the Option or Alt keys held down, and I'm pressing the W right now.
Window Eyes 7.01.
Okay, and there's Window Eyes. It's loaded, and we are set to go. Now, of course, to switch applications in Windows, then Windows uses Alt-Tab. So you would hold the Option key and the Tab key down to do an Alt-Tab. So if I do that now, it should take us to the Windows desktop. Let's see.
Desktop. My documents on selected list.
Okay, I'll just move around here, and you can see for yourself. It's fairly responsive, even though it's running in a virtual machine. So I'll just move around the desktop here.
My computer tool 16. My network places recycle. Internet Explorer 5 of 6. Firefox 6 of Morphe OS Pro. Nero Start Smart 8 of 6. Morphe OS Pro 7 of Firefox 6. Outlook Express 15 of 16. Client.log 14 of 16.
Client.log. I guess that was from something I installed last night on here. I'm going to go ahead and delete that. Don't need that, so I'm just going to do a shift delete here.
Client.log 14 of 16. Dialog confirm file Y. Desktop. Internet Explorer unselect.
Okay.
Recycle bin 4 of 15. Clean my PC registry cleaner 13.
Internet registry cleaner, yes. Having to do all that stuff, I'm reminded why I think the Mac OS is better. So we can go ahead and open the start menu here too. Again, with just pressing the command key, which in Windows is the Windows key on a Mac keyboard.
Start menu. New Office document. Open Office. Set program. Letter allowed. Windows update. Windows catalog. Windows update. WinZip. Programs pull down.
And let's just go into programs with the right arrow.
Accessories pull down. Clean my PC at Diskkeeper Corporation. Games pull down. Kurzweil Educational System. Microsoft Office Tools pull down. Microsoft Speech SD. Mozilla Firefox pull down. Nero pull down. OO Software pull registry mechanic. Screaming D pull down. Skype pull down.
Okay, so you kind of get the idea. I'll press the Alt or the Option key on the Mac keyboard to get out of that.
Menu closed. Start button.
So as you can see, it's fairly responsive. Okay, let's go ahead and, of course, I don't need to do this on the Windows side, and I actually did not install all of the Windows apps that I use on this because I didn't need to. For instance, I did not install Adobe Reader because the Macintosh has a great way to read PDFs that's actually a lot faster. I did configure Outlook Express because there may be a time if I'm ever on a web page that only works with Internet Explorer and I need to email something, so I did configure that. But I did not install all of the apps that I have on my PCs because, again, the Mac has a lot of that works very well already. But just so you get an idea of some of the responsiveness, let's go ahead and open Firefox. We could use IE too, but let's just go ahead and use Firefox here.
Desktop.
And I'll go ahead and open a page. How about the VMware site that, you know, for that makes this Fusion program? Of course, I could easily do this on the Mac side, but I just want to show you kind of how responsive it is and the speed of it. So we'll hit F here for Firefox.
F, Firefox 6 of 15.
And press Enter.
Firefox 6 of 15.
And it's loading up here. Firefox does take a second to load, even on a
file. Edit view history.
Okay.
Bookmarks tools. L.
So let's hit Control L here, and we'll type in vmware.com.
L. Open web location. M. W. A. R. E. It's O. M.
As you can see, it's pretty snappy. You'd hardly even know that you're running on a virtual. Okay. Press Enter.
File edit view history. Bookmarks tools. Help. 65 links.
and it just uses your internet, whatever internet connection, you know, you have. So, you know, I'm using a cable modem through an Ethernet, and the virtual machine will use that. I don't have the wireless turned on at the moment, which the Mac calls airport, of course. But if I did, the virtual machine could certainly use that. You know, and the Windows wireless manager for doing wireless connections would certainly function. But here we are on the VMware page. So let's just arrow around here.
VMware. Link VMware server consolidation HTTP. Same page link HTTP. Understanding virtualization. Expand your virtual infrastructure into a virtual data center.
I wonder if Fusion is on this page. Let's see if it is. We'll do a windowized search here. Control-Shift-F.
Dialog find. F-U-S-I-O-N. Found link VMware Fusion.
There it is. Let's just press enter.
60 links.
All right. And let's just hit the letter X to skip past the window. That's the key in windowized to skip past the links and go to the text.
VMware. Link at free. Get the best of both Mac and PC worlds. Seamlessly run your favorite Windows applications and devices on any Intel-based Mac. Built from the ground up for the Mac, VMware Fusion is the easiest way to switch to Mac, letting you bring all of your Windows applications with you, making the most of your Windows software investment while providing the perfect safety blanket for the switch. Link products Fusion features .html C25004, break down the walls between Windows and Mac. With the powerful Unity feature, VMware Fusion seamlessly integrates your Windows applications with your Mac. Instantly launch Windows applications from any Mac file, the dock, and more. Minimize Windows applications to the dock, and even quickly switch between Windows and Mac applications with Expose.
See, that's the stuff that I was talking about earlier about sharing, you know, the documents folders and having the Windows applications appear on the dock. I didn't enable any of that. I prefer to keep it completely separate. But again, that's a personal preference. You can certainly enable that if you use this if you wish. But the only thing that'll show on my Mac dock is VMware Fusion itself that it's running, because I didn't enable any of that other stuff.
Link learn more. Link products Fusion features .html, safest way to run Windows on the Mac. VMware Fusion makes your Windows on Mac experience the safest possible with a suite of features to keep Windows safe and sound. From automated time snapshots to embedded antivirus and anti-spyware software, VMware Fusion keeps Windows on your Mac sparkling. Link learn more. Link products Fusion, Mac-like and user-friendly. Built from the ground up for Mac users, with an obsessive eye towards being a good Mac citizen, VMware Fusion is the easiest, most Mac-friendly way to run Windows on the Mac. A Mac-first user interface ensures that users get the features they expect, like customizable toolbars, searchable Apple Help, bootcamp support, dock notification, integration, and more.
Okay, yes, and it is a very well-behaved Mac application, and that is probably why it works so well with VoiceOver also, as far as, you know, when you need to connect and disconnect things. But the other thing I should mention, talking about the bootcamp, if you install Windows using the bootcamp, okay, remember how I was talking about you do have to dual boot, you know, you got to shut down one to boot the other. That is true in itself, but if you get this program, what you can then do is you can boot the Windows that's in your bootcamp partition. You can boot that as a virtual machine also. So then you could choose to boot into Windows natively, or you could boot it as a virtual machine alongside the Mac OS and run them at the same time, but it still doesn't get around the issue of needing sighted help to install Windows. That's the main issue I've got with that.
Link learn more.
But,
Link products Fusion power to burn. Based on the most advanced virtualization engine the world has ever known, the result of more than a decade of development, VMware Fusion brings all the power of VMware's enterprise-proven technology to the Mac.
Okay.
Link learn more.
Well, you get the idea there. I was just pressing the down arrow key to read through that, and as you can see, it functions just like you were on a native Windows PC. You'd almost never know the difference. Okay, let's go ahead and hit Alt F4, or Option F4, to get out of Firefox.
Taskbar running size tray with desktop.
Okay. Let's see. The other thing I wanted to show you in here, I'll show you a couple more things. You've kind of seen WindowEyes working. Let's go ahead and shut WindowEyes down, and I will load up System Access for you, which is the other screen reader that I use. And I'll go ahead and do that using SA to go, actually. I am a paid member of it, and we can just log in that way. So let's go ahead and shut down. Let's go ahead and shut WindowEyes down. We'll do Control / to get to the control panel.
WindowEyes Active Explorer 0.0.
And do Alt F4 or Option F4 again.
OK button. Dialog WindowEyes exit. This will shut down WindowEyes.
Yep. And I just pressed Enter to go ahead and close it. Okay, so now we are back in Windows with no screen reader at this point. Okay, well, let's go ahead and launch SA2Go. To do that, let's press Windows R, or in this case, Command R on the keyboard. I keep mentioning both the what it is in Windows and the key we're actually pressing, just so you, so it's clear for you. So we'll press Command R, which will be taken as Windows R, and that should take us to the run box. And let's just type in www.satogo.com and press Enter. And what that'll do then is it should launch Internet Explorer and open that page. And this is a free screen reader that Saratech provides.
Welcome to System Access to Go. Please press Enter to begin.
And, you know, if you're a paid member, you can have access to all of their content, but the screen reader you can use for free. Anybody can. Okay, press Enter here.
Please press Alt plus R to continue.
Alt R for run, uh-huh.
Please press Alt plus R again to continue.
All right. And there we go.
System access to Go. Login. Press Alt H for help. If you have an account with the system.
Okay. And I do have a, I do have an account here, so I'm going to go ahead and just pause this while I type in my username, which is my phone number, actually, and my password. So I'm going to pause it while I type that, and then we'll pick up the recording again. All right, we're back on the recording here. I've typed in my username and password, and I'm just sitting on the login button now. So I'm just going to go ahead and select that with the spacebar.
You're logged on. Please wait. System access SA Mobile Desktop. SA Mobile Desktop. What would you like to do now? 1. Link SA Mobile Network Home.
And so now I'm in the SA browser, and I could access from here, and I've done this actually on the Mac, any of the described, you know, movies or any of that stuff, which is one thing that I use this for, because that you can't access on the Mac side of things. Let's go ahead and exit out of the browser for now, though, and that'll take us back to the desktop, so I'll just press Escape.
SA Mobile Network. Are you sure you want to disconnect from the SA Mobile Network?
I am.
Yes button. System access. System access to Go is still running. Do you want to shut it down now?
No,
yes,
I don't.
Oh, taskbar.
I don't, so I just hit N for no, and now we are sitting on the taskbar, actually, at the moment. And, again, we can move around here. I'll go ahead and open the Start menu.
Start menu. New Office document. Open Office document. Set program at weather allowed. Windows catalog. Windows update. WinZip. Programs submenu. Accessories submenu. Clean MIP registry cleaner submenu. Diskeeper Corporation submenu. Games submenu. Kurzweil Educational System. Microsoft Office Tools submenu. M.
Okay. Now, of course, you can do this on the Mac side with text edit, but I'll go ahead. I do have Office 2000 on here. I know it's kind of an older version of Office, but honestly, I never really saw a reason to upgrade because 2000 does what I needed to do. So I'll go ahead and launch Microsoft Word, and you can see how long it takes to load that. Let's see. I think that is on my desktop, but since I'm already in the Start menu, let's just arrow back up until we get to
Windows Media Player. Tune up your systems, remote Outlook Express, MS, Microsoft Word.
There we go. And just press Enter, and you can see how long that takes to load here. It's not bad at all.
Menu closed. Start button. Document 1, Microsoft Word.
And there we are.
Blank.
So we are now in Microsoft Word, and I could even type something. You know, now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their party.
M-O-W space S space space S I S S E space A F O space F space O space F E space O space O E space O space 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 space, space, y, period.
Okay, this is not quite as responsive as WindowEyes was. If I type fast, it doesn't even have a chance to say the letters. WindowEyes is a bit more responsive than System Access is with the DeckTalk, I think. But still, it's not bad. But anyway, there's that. I just typed a sentence, and we can read that.
Now is the time for all good men to come to TH8 of their party.
Oops.
End of document.
I missed a letter. Let me go back and just fix that.
Party. There. Of. 8. TH. 2. TH. H.
space.
Forgot the E there.
H, space, E, E, H.
There we go. And, of course, I know that's spelled right, but if I hit F7 to spell check it.
Microsoft Word. There is no custom dictionary. See documents and settings. Administrator application data. Microsoft Proof custom dict. Do you want to create it now? Yes button. No button.
I never spell checked on this before. Why not, I guess.
Microsoft Word. The spelling check is complete. Okay button.
And there was nothing misspelled there, so.
Document 1 Microsoft.
We'll go ahead and, okay. I just wanted to show you that. Let's get out of Word. We'll just do Alt F4. Or Option F4 again.
Microsoft Word. Do you want to save the changes you made to Document 1?
No.
Yes button.
That was just for testing. We'll hit End.
Taskbar.
Okay. Let me show you one more application here. And then I'll show you how you can switch between the Mac OS and Windows. So let's go into Kurzweil 1000. Now, System Access actually will automatically silence itself when you go into Kurzweil 1000, so no need to unload it or anything like that. You could, I suppose, but no need to do that. That way, if you want to have speech in other Windows programs, you don't have to reload a screen reader. So that's Control-Alt-K to launch that. Now, again, that's a voiceover keystroke. That starts the keyboard help. So to bypass that, we do have to press the voiceover command Control-Option-Tab to have it ignore the next keystroke. So I'll do that now.
Ignore and next key press.
And there's Alex again, because, again, that's on the Mac side. Okay, now we press Control-Option-K, which Windows will take as Control-Alt-K, which is what we want to launch at Kurzweil 1000. And to tell you how long it takes, I'm pressing, I got Control and Option or Alt held down, and I'm pressing the K now.
Hello, and welcome to the Kurzweil 1000, version 11.03. Press the rectangular key at the bottom right corner of the keypad for assistance.
Speaking of Kurzweil 1000, the one thing, well, and I expected this, I knew beforehand, the scanners that I've got, admittedly, they're a bit older. They're actually HP5P scanners that I've got on both of my PCs, but they still work great, so I've never seen a need to replace them. But they are SCSI scanners, actually, and these Macs, all the new ones don't have SCSI ports on them. So, unfortunately, you know, scanner won't work with this, but if I did get a USB scanner, there's no reason why it would not work on this. It should work just fine. But, okay, so we're in Kurzweil 1000, and we could just hit the Alt key now to move across the menus.
File, as a folder, as a scan, as a settings, as a tools, as a submenu. Settings, as a submenu, scan, as a submenu. Folder, as a submenu, file, as a submenu, control open, control delete, open favorites, find and open launch, as a utilities, as a send to, open that I recently opened, as exit. New, control plus N.
So it's pretty responsive. Okay, so now we've got Kurzweil 1000 running with Windows here in the virtual machine. What if we wanted to switch back to the Mac OS to maybe pull up a web page or something like that? Well, no problem. There are a couple ways we can do it. It's the Fusion program is running, and hence the virtual machine is running, as a, you know, just another application. Now, unless you've got it in full screen mode, which if you do that, then every keystroke gets passed through to Windows, including the command tab and that type of thing. You have to take it out of full screen mode to do that. But, well, actually, let me do this. Let me see. Let's minimize Kurzweil 1000, but we'll keep it running for now. So let's hold the Windows key and press M.
Desktop. List. Firefox.
Now, I think if I switch this to full screen mode, which the keystroke to do that is you hold the command and the control key down, and you press the enter key. Let me do that here.
Window, Windows XP Professional, scroll area, VMware Fusion.
And VoiceOver said
new
that
window.
Because what it did is it basically put up a new window of this virtual machine now in full screen mode. So now we're running this, you know, as a full screen. If we try to use the VoiceOver cursor now to move down, there's nothing else to go to because the whole screen is now taken up by the virtual machine instead of just a part of it. So those options to connect and disconnect things down at the bottom are no longer there at the moment. Now, I don't know if we can still use Command Tab at this point to switch back to the Mac OS or not. Let's see.
Finder.
Yes, we can.
Finder, Macintosh HD selected.
Okay. And now if we go back...
VMware Macintosh HD selected. VMware Fusion. Window. Windows XP Professional. Scroll area.
Start button.
Okay.
Running application notification desktop.
Okay. So, yeah. So now we're in the full screen mode, but we can still switch back. So we've got Kurzweil 1000 running here now. I'll just Alt-Tab or Option-Tab back to that because I'm back in Fusion at this point. And I think we're back in that now.
File, add a folder, add a submenu.
Okay, now, let's say we had that running, though, and we needed to maybe do something else on the Mac side. Well, let's go ahead and I'm going to press, hold the Command key and press Tab.
Finder,
menu.
Finder,
new office document.
Macintosh, H.
Now, that is one kind of interesting side effect. With the key mappings turned off in Fusion, when you press that keystroke, the that Command key or... In Windows case, the Windows key does get passed to it, so it does open the Start menu. So you'll have to close that once you get back to your virtual machine. But that's no big thing, really. It's really simple. But okay, so now we're back on the Finder on the desktop. So now what we could do, let's say we wanted to open up a song, maybe. Let's go ahead and hit Command-O here to open the hard drive.
Window, Macintosh HD, table, table.
And let's go to the MP3 folder.
Collapsed, row 4, name, MP3.
Open that.
Window, MP3, row 8.
And let's just
row
pick
eight.
Something here.
Name, Alabama Forever's As Far As I'll Go.
Alabama Forever's As Far As I'll Go. So if we do a Command-O to open that,
open.
It'll just open that MP3 in iTunes. Which is loading up now. It does take a second here. It looks like it is. There we go. Okay, you get the idea there. We'll quit out of that. So if you wanted
Finder.
To do something back on the Mac side, you could. Let's go ahead and close these windows.
Table. Clip. Macintosh
and
HD selected.
When you're ready to go back, in this case, like to Kurzweil 1000, we just command tab back to Fusion.
Macintosh HD selected. VMware Fusion. Window. Windows XP Professional. Scroll area.
And we're back in Windows. Now we'll have to hit Escape to get out of the Start menu.
Menu closed. Start button.
And then we Option tab back to Kurzweil and
File. Add folder. Add scan.
There we
add
are. So literally, you can run Windows and all the Windows applications that you went to, and I haven't seen any programs that I've tried anyway that, you know, don't work. It works fine. It's just like a PC. You can also use this program Fusion to run a Linux and really any other operating system you'd want to, but Windows is probably going to be the main one you're going to want to use. But anyway, so that's kind of how that works. Let's go ahead and Alt-F4 out of Kurzweil 1000.
Taskbar.
There we go. Okay, let's go ahead and shut down Windows. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I wanted to show you in Windows. You know, I think that pretty much covers that. I just wanted to show you how a screen reader worked and, you know, running a specialty application like, you know, Kurzweil 1000, which are probably going to be some of the main reasons why you'd want to run, you know, Windows on a Mac. But the settings, like as far as allocating the how much memory and that type of stuff, that can only be changed when the operating system is actually shut down. So let's go ahead and just shut down Windows. That in itself will not exit the Fusion program, and we could even, you know, restart the virtual machine, you know, if we wanted to. But let's go ahead and shut down Windows, and I'll show you how you can change the virtual machine settings. So to do that, we'll just press the Command key, again, which is the Windows key in Windows.
Start menu.
And
new office document.
Press U.
Turn off computer. Standby. Turn off.
And we just press U one more time for shutdown, and that should do it.
Taskbar.
there's the Windows shutdown, and the operating system is shutting down now. So the other thing, too, I did a test on this last night. I was installing an application on the Windows site, and it took a while. The new Nero suite, actually, Nero version 9, and it literally took about 25 or 30 minutes to install, so I actually went back on the...
Windows XP Professional button.
Okay, it was in full screen mode, and that virtual machine is now powered off, as it were. So that's why VoiceOver, you know, said that, because the window changed. I actually switched back to the Mac side and was doing email stuff while the program was installing under Windows, so it really does multitask well, and even music, like on the Mac side, is not choppy or anything when you run it in Windows. Okay, well, let's bring up the settings for this virtual machine, and you can even, if you have enough memory to do it, I haven't tried this, but if you have enough memory, you can run more than one virtual machine at the same time, so you could literally be running, you know, the Mac OS, which is always going to be there with this program, because that's the host, but then you could literally be running Windows XP in one window and Linux in another one, or maybe Windows XP in one window and Windows Vista in another one. You can have as many virtual machines running at the same time as, you know, your resources will allow. Now, of course, you know, to run this, you do have to have a licensed copy of Windows, which this program does not, you know, come with. It just provides the tools for running it, but you still have to have your own copy. So anyway, let's bring up the settings window here. And to do that, we do a Command E, and now it's just the Command key again because the Windows operating system itself is shut down. So now we're just interacting with the Macintosh part of this application. So Command E, bring up the settings.
Windows XP Professional Settings Toolbar.
Okay, and I'll show you what options you have available. Like I said, you probably won't need to change hardly any of this. But there are a couple of things of interest that I'll show you. Oh, let me turn on the VoiceOver numpad commander again so I can use the numeric keypad for navigation. Because that makes it a lot easier than having to hold the control and the option keys and having to press the left and right arrow keys.
Numpad commander on.
There we go. All right, and let's just move down through the items here.
Image. System settings. Removable devices. Sharing button.
Okay, sharing, that again controls, you know, your folders, if your Mac folders are able to be seen in Windows and vice versa, and I've got that disabled. And that's how it comes. You have to actually enable that, you know, for it to work.
Network button.
Network, if we go in there, let's see what's in there actually.
Press network button.
Let's just see what options we have available.
Table. Interact with table on selected row 1. Image. Unknown image.
Okay, I guess we can't change it. Let's see what we got.
Stop connected. Check box. This network adapter is configured to share the Mac's network connection, NAT, selected radio button 1 of 1. Connect directly to the physical network, bridge, radio button 1 of 1.
Oh, okay, so you can have it share, you can have it share the Mac's connection, which is usually going to be what you're going to want. Or you can have it bridged, which means it would basically function separately and obtain its own IP address and that type of thing. You might want to use that like in a corporate environment, but just for home users, I can't think of why you want to do that.
Create a private network available only to the Mac, a host only, radio button 1 of 1. Button.
So those are the options that
help button
you have available there. All right, let's go back to showing just the settings here. Let's go up to the toolbar.
Toolbar, interact, add heart, show all, press show all button.
Do show all there, okay.
Stop,
and let's see what else we've got.
With toolbar, system, remove, share, network, processors and RAM button.
Okay, this is has some interesting things which I want to show you.
Press processors and RAM button. Image, processors. This virtual machine is configured to use 2 virtual processors. Pop-up button.
Okay, what this is, if you have a dual-core or a Core 2 Duo processor, which my Mac Mini does, you can configure it so it does a virtual machine for one processor or two. I started out with one, and then I switched over to two. I figured, you know, it's got the both cores, so why not? I haven't noticed really any difference. Probably you got to have software, I guess, that's written to utilize that. But you do have the option to do that if you, if you want, you can change that.
Two virtual processors, pop-up button, image, RAM. Increasing the memory allocation of the virtual machine can improve performance, but may also reduce the performance of other running applications. 41.4%. Horizontal slider.
That's a slider. You can control how much memory is allocated to that.
380. Edit text. Adjuster. MB.
So 380 megabytes of RAM is what I've got allocated. So had we checked, about Windows in my computer, it would have said physical memory available to Windows, 380 megs. And you may need to, do some adjusting again to get a good balance between, your Mac OS performance and Windows. But for mine, that seems to work really well. I've never had a case of anything crashing because they were out of memory this way. At 512, which is what it defaulted to, the Mac OS was running a bit sluggish and doing a lot of swapping. Like I say, this Mac Mini has a gig. Really, having 2 gigs would be better for that, and I may put another gig of RAM in this Mac. But 1 gig works, with the way I've got it set, and it works. It does work fairly well. But certainly that's an adjustment you can make if you wish.
Recommended value, 512 megabytes.
See, it recommends that I do 512. But where I've got it set at, it does work for me. So.
Recommended minimum, 128 megabytes. If lower, virtual machine may not start. Recommended maximum, 896 megabytes. If higher, memory swapping may occur. Help button.
Okay, so that's that. There's one more thing I want to show you in here. A setting.
Toolbar. Interact. Add heart. Show all. Press show all button. Stop interacting with toolbar.
Okay, let's go back down here.
Processors. Net. Hard disks button.
Hard disks. That's the last thing I wanted to show you.
Display button.
Well, display is... There's really not a whole lot in there of interest.
CDs and DVDs.
DVDs and DVDs. You can actually disconnect the drive so it doesn't show in Windows if you wanted to.
Windows XP CD
okay.
Disk hard
Let's
disk
go back to hard
button.
Disks.
Press window. Windows XP Professional. Table. File name. Windows XP Professional.vmdk. Dim pop-up button.
That's the name of the image file, that everything is stored in. That's what I was showing you earlier in the virtual machines folder.
Bus type. SCSI. Dim pop-up button. Disk size, 29.8%, horizontal slider, 40.00, edit text.
40 gigabytes, although of course the file's not that big yet because I don't have that much stuff in there, but that's the hard disk that it emulates. So if you were to look in Windows again in the device manager, you would see a 40 gigabyte drive.
GB. Pre-allocate disk space, unchecked checkbox.
Pre-allocate disk space, if you select that, it will make the actual image file of the virtual machine that size. I don't really see any need to do that, though. No reason to take up more space on your, real physical hard drive than you need to, but the option is there if you want it to be.
Split into 2 gigabytes files, checked checkbox.
Split into 2 gigabytes files, that's... Actually, I could probably uncheck that. I may have to check that out because it's using an NTFS partition in that image, so that doesn't have a file size limit that I know of, but that option is available if you're using like a FAT32 partition. So you do have that option available also.
Revert dimmed button. Apply dimmed button.
Okay, so then you can apply that. So that's the settings for the hard drive. So those are the settings that you might want to change for your virtual machine. Again, the only thing I ever changed was the memory. I reduced that slightly. But other than that, I left all the settings at the defaults. And it worked just fine. So anyway, that is a demonstration of running Windows on the Mac. Pretty neat. You really do get the best of both worlds. And there's a couple other advantages too, I think, that the Macintosh offers when it comes to running Windows that I'll cover here to finish things off. A lot of times the Mac is more expensive than some of the PCs, but the hardware usually is a lot better quality than what you're going to get with some of these PCs. And the other advantage, of course, is the drivers. Whether you use Bootcamp or the virtual machine route, you don't have to go hunting for a bunch of drivers. A lot of these PCs, especially if you're trying to fix somebody's PC or something like that, it's like, you know, and you have to reinstall everything. It's like you got to hunt around a lot of times for all the different drivers for things. With Bootcamp, all of the drivers are on the Mac OS Leopard disk, and like for this program, the drivers that you do need to get some of the hardware to run in Windows all come with it. So there's no hunting around for drivers at all on the internet to all the different manufacturers. And the other advantage, you don't get a lot of the junk. A lot of the PCs that you get, especially from these manufacturers, which is one reason among several why for PCs I prefer to build them, not to mention the quality is usually a lot better. A lot of times these companies like HP and Dell and Gateway, the quality of their components is not the best. It really isn't. It's like you don't always get what you pay for, unfortunately, but you never get what you don't pay for. That's the way I look at it. And but a lot of these computers have so much junk on them, trialware and just all kinds of stuff. And, of course, if you run Windows on a Mac, you never have to worry about that because you're installing it yourself. And the other thing about a Mac, there's no BIOS to deal with. Whenever you get a PC, a lot of times, fortunately, you don't have to do it much. But on a PC, you usually have to get sighted help, at least when you first get a computer. It's always a good idea to go in and check the BIOS settings and make sure that you know, they're all set correctly before you really install, you know, your Windows, so it can, you know, Windows can customize itself for your hardware. And sometimes changing BIOS settings can affect that. But with the Mac, no BIOS to worry about, so no CMOS setup that's not inaccessible to worry about. The Mac doesn't use that approach. So those are a couple other advantages when it comes to running Windows using the Mac. So anyway, I hope everybody's enjoyed this. It really does give you the best of both worlds, and it's neat. You get the stability and the functionality and the accessibility of the Mac OS. But if you need to run a Windows application, you can, and you can run it right alongside the Mac OS. The two can run together, and you get the best of both worlds. So if anyone has any questions or comments, would love to hear from you. Feel free to send me an email. My email address is N0OXY. It's my ham call. N, and then the number 0, and the letters OXY. At charter, charter, .net. And everyone take care, and we'll hopefully talk to everybody again soon.